Good morning, gentlemen. 42 days, V.S.R. Metov Shin Samach Zayin, and we're still holding an Yevamah. When does it finish, actually? What day do you know?
Today?
Yeah.
The Sukkos is not
okay,
so sad.
But today's daf is Yud Beis, so we can... at least we took a little bite into the Masechta, at least. That's pretty good. So... we were holding in the middle of this interesting sugya of the idea of a sota. Now the question over here is, what is the halacha if a sota on her own husband falls to yibum, to the death of her husband? And the question is, what is the din of the sota? What is the din of the tzara in that case? So we began with this halacha, which we'd spoken about actually back on Daf Beis. What is the meaning of the Mishnah's numbering? We said it was coming, one of it was coming. Tell me, don't make the mistake of thinking what Rav Yonah Merav said, that a tzara seita actually would pater her tzara. That's why the Mishnah said, no, there's only 15. Let's not think about it. It's the tzara seita. But Rav, who holds it is a tzara seita, he had another explanation for the numbering in the Mishnah, if you recall. And his insight was that the use of the word tum'ah, when it came to nistra v'hinitma'ah, which Rav interprets to mean she had actually had relations with the guy that she went into seter with. So in that case, she's called tume'ah, which is the same exact lashon we find by the arayot. Al titam'u. For some nature of tum'ah, Rav views the nature of tum'ah itself as being the essence of erva, and therefore if it calls her to me'ah, then even though it's only an iser lav, as far as the husband is concerned, how did that come to be a p'tur from erva and a pater on the tzar? It's just that the Torah is calling her an erva, giving her the same din as the erva. By the way, we found the same idea when it came to Rabbi Akiva, which Tosfos says he doesn't quite know where it comes from. But once you see that the Torah views an Isser as similar to Erebus, according to Rabbi Akiva, every lav of Isre Chitun, basically, even without Karet, makes the Nisuin invalid and creates Mamzerut. So therefore, it's also the equivalent of Erebus. And it parters from Yibum. So it says, where if it parters from Yibum? Now that led us a little bit into a tangent. The tangent was, Mara said, how about even if she would be then a Sufik Erva, because we asked the Kasha on Rav from a case where we have a Nichtesei Molas Seter, and it says over there, he made Choletzet V'lo Mityaberet. According to Rav, there's no Chalitza, there's no Yibum. To which Rav replied, but that's talking about a Sota that we don't know if she was Nitva. So Gemara said, but even the Sufik is, we know that she was Nitva, it's called Nitma. Because even though it doesn't say it in the parsha of Sota itself, the word Nitma'ah, however, it does say it in the parsha of Machzir Gushato, which is very similar, the idea. And when it says over there, and that got us into the last words that we were learning, was the machlok between Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur and the Chachami. So according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, the Nitma'ah acharei asher hutam'ah, which occurs by the Marz Gushato. So Rav Yossi ben Kippur says, as a matter of fact, why not? Well, let's just go over that. We could start from there, go run right through it on the fifth line. Titanya Rav Yossi ben Kippur and Bishum Rav Elazar and Marz Gushato mina nisuin asura mina erusin muteret. Suppose the guy now divorces his wife. She goes ahead and gets married to another man but never consummates the marriage. So there's only an erusin. And now he wants to take her back. That husband dies, or that husband gives her a get, whatever the case will be. So says Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, look, the Torah didn't asur her to her first husband just because she got heiress into somebody else, because it says, achresher hutam'ah, and you can't call, wait a minute, we call giving a ring to a woman tuma. I mean, obviously tuma has to do vis-a-vis her husband with some type of sexual relationship, which requires an nisuin, not heirissing. And therefore, she's okay to go back. Whereas the Chachomim say the word, Chachomim omrim, achad zo v'achad zo asura. Why does it say achreu tam'ah, which is mashma, that we're only talking about an issue to the first husband if she actually had relations with another man, it's not even talking about Amachzir Grushato. The word Hutam'a, doesn't that smell very much Nistara V'Yitma'am? Does it sound exactly like that? So that word Hutam'a actually is talking about a Sota Shenistara. So in which case, the Kashi is, how is Rav Big Machalik? He's trying to answer the Kashi we had on him about the need for Chalitza of a Sota. Whereas according to him, there shouldn't be any need for Chalitza. He's trying to answer that by saying, but that's talking about a Sota that we're not sure that she was really Tveya. But here it says that even if she is Nistara, she's considered to be Tveya. So how do you explain that? Answers Rav, when it says Nistara, it doesn't mean that. Nistara is a euphemism. Umay Nistara Nivala. Amay Karla Nistara Lishlama Alya. Should say my Nistara, not Umay. That's Rav's answer. Answers Rav, what is the meaning of Nistara that the Chachamim say is implied by the word Acharei Hutam'a? It's talking about that she actually slept with the guy. And it only uses the word Nistara as a euphemism. Yes, the Gemara, but then you're not adding anything. Because it says Hutam'a Nistara V'Yinitma'a in the Parsha of Sota itself. So what's the purpose of bringing Hutam'a in the story of Marzeh Grushato to apply to a Sota? It said that already. Tuma Behed Yektiv, but says Beferush by the Sota V'Nistara V'Yinitma'a. Ah, true. But where does it say an Isser Lav by the Sota? It's L'meikim Alav B'Lav. That's the point. Since it says over here, Lo Yuchal Ba'ala HaRishon. Lo Yuchal is an Isser Lav. L'shuv L'kachta. That Isser Lav refers here to the husband of a Sota. That's the point. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Now, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, who does not have this love, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur does not have a love by a Sota. Love is Sota letra. According to him, there's no such love. The question, and this is a very interesting point, by the way, which Tosis raises, and that's extremely, it's subtle and very important. Tosis points out that the din is, and Rav certainly is not arguing on this, the din is that, in fact, if her husband, let's say, sleeps with his wife on his way to the Beit HaMikdash to check her as a Sota, he gets Malkus, it says, and the water doesn't work to be Bodek her. How does he get Malkus? It's only a Suffolk. And the only time it said the lava over here is on the Vada, it says Nivava. It's an extremely subtle point. Tosis explains the whole point of a Sota is that the Torah makes the Suffolk Kavada. That's the point of Sota. Until she's checked, the Suffolk is the Vada, which is the whole marker of the din of Suffolk Tuma versus Ayochi, that Sota is Tame, and so on, right? So if that's the case, what's the Gemara saying over here? Then it's meaningless. Then Rav has an answer, and he knows this stuff. The din that the Suffolk Sota is Kivadai is only when it comes to every halacha lechormra, treat her lechormra, that she's a Vadai. But you're not going to treat her, she's a Vadai, to pater her and her Tzara from Yibam. That's the point. It's telling you how to act. It's not telling you what is. So if in essence she may not be a Sota, okay, so it's a Suffolk. That remains. That Suffolk remains. It's not going to pot her from Yibam. Okay? There's two different dinim over here. It's true that the Rav is saying it only says it by a Vadai, but of course every Suffolk is a Vadai in terms of that Chum. It's even more complex than that. Because it can't just be a matter of Suffolk and Vada, you see. Because if that's the case, why did the Gemara wonder about why you can't be Me'avim her? It's a Suffolk error. You can't be Me'avim her. So we're not even dealing with it on the level of Suffolk on that level, you see. It's a din in how to act with her. When it comes to Yibam, that din wasn't set. So therefore, there is no halacha, Mamaisa, according to Rav, of Tuma by Suffolk Sota at all, except vis-a-vis the halacha of the Baal. But when it comes to define what the nature of the Yibum is, you're still going to need to say, well, if she's a Surat at the Baal, she's certainly not going to be a Surat at the end. But you're not going to say, but maybe she's really an Erev and she's Tveya, and therefore I'm only allowed to be Chaylitzer. That's not the point. Okay, this element, Seita Beklal, is an extremely, the relationship of the reality of the situation of the Seita to the normal dinin of Suffolk and Humra and so on and so forth is an extremely complex sugya that is not really all that germane to understanding our sugya. But the point is that according to Rav, the only time that the word Tuma is used when it comes to the Sota is if she was already Nivala. That's the point. According to Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur, it doesn't even say that, and he doesn't hold there's any law in a Sota. The Parsha of Marzir Grushato was precisely what it is on the surface. Marzir Grushato. And Afila Zanai Nami. Even if she had Vadai Ben Bizana, there is no such law, according to Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur. Lo Yuchal Ba'ala Rishon does not refer to a Sota. And I'll prove it to you. Says Rabbi Yossi, my taima havaya v'ishut k'tivba, which Tosfos understands as, how can you say lo yuchal ba'ala rishon lo shuv l'kakta? What does that mean? To go and make a kiddushin on her? She's married to him already. L'kukhin means to make someone your wife, not to sleep with them. But she's married to him. So how could you explain a pasuk? I mean, it has to make some sense in the context of the pasuk. You can't say the Pasuk Achrei Asher Rutama is telling me not to sleep with her, but what it says is, don't make her your wife. So then obviously it's referring to someone who is not your wife. That must mean that you already divorced her. So referring to the Marzi Gushato. You can't have a drush, it's a complete stirrup in the meaning of the Pasuk. That's how Tosfos understands this kasha. Rashi has a very weak approach, which Tosfos, for the same reason you're not going to like it, Tosfos is Doche. Rashi says, since the whole Pasuk was talking about the Inyan of Ishus, so how could we be saying the Asura Labala? So if we're talking about Ishus, then we're not talking about this case of Saita, which is Nus. It doesn't point out. Obviously, the Parsh is talking about Ishus. I mean, but that's the whole point of saying that we're going to be Meramis to the din of a Seita through Nitma. I mean, that's not a contradiction. The contradiction is that the word Achrei Asher Utama is justifying not taking her back as a wife. That's the point. Not that we need to be dealing with in the context of marriage. So, okay, so now we have, according to Rav, everything is consistent. We have the case of the Seita, who herself is Ptura from Yibum, she's considered to be an Erva, therefore is the same as any other Erva, will pater her Sora. When? Only when, of course, it's a Vadai, where she was Nevala, not where the Torah doesn't call her Akri Ashurutama. Furthermore, only in a case where it's a site of the Arisa, not in the cases of the Seiter Abonon, which was where the Bezdin had given her a shush to marry, and we're going to treat her as a Seiter because she didn't hire the correct detective agency to make sure her husband was dead. But Lamaisa, she was not a Seiter in that case, so there, the Rabbanon Seiter certainly, says Rav, I never suggested that. How could she patur min hayibum? That would be silly. Boy minei Rav Yudin Rav Sheshes. Now, in this context, once we understand Magzir Grushato, and we're saying that according to the Rabbanan over here, we're going to take the Pasuk out of its simple meaning and say that the Magzir Grushato is not the reference to the Lo Yuchal Ba'al HaRishon, but rather the reference is to the husband of a Seita. So my question is like this, asks Rav Yehuda to Rav Sheshes. If someone goes ahead and is Magzir Grushato after she went ahead and slept with another guy, and now he dies, what's the din of the Tzora? According to Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur, I know what the din is. I wouldn't ask it. Kiva the Omer of Yossi Ben Kippur. Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur says the simple meaning of that pasuk is its meaning. And when it says, Hutam'ah, it's a reference to a Machzir Grushato, in which case she's an Erva, even though there's no Iser Karet, and Sarata Kabota, and now there's no Yibum or Chalitza. That's not the question. That's not the question. Now, I know you'll think for a moment, now, wait a minute. Is that so obvious that that's not a question? Does it not say in that pasuk, "Ki tovei vahi lifnei Hashem Elokeh"? Does it say lifnei Hashem? So it's a tovei vah. It stresses tovei vahi. And you'll say, doesn't that mean tovei vahi, but not the tzara? No, it means tovei vahi, but not her children. Meaning her children are not mamzerim. But it's not coming to discuss cases of yiva. Hatzarata tovei vah. But the tzara is indeed a tovei vah because she remains now a tzura. And she's an Eishes Hak Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah. Kiti Bo Elokha Libe the Rabbanan. What I want to know is, according to the Rabbanan said the word Hutama over there, Achrei Asher Hutama, was not referring to the case of Machzir Grushato. It was actually a remez about what the din is of the Sota, correct? But I want to know, I mean, when the Rabbanan do that kind of thing, are they changing the meaning of the Pasuk and ignoring the simple meaning? In other words, the simple meaning is that a mazir grushato is taking someone who is tmeya. That's simple meaning. Now, are they saying the simple meaning doesn't exist? That's a reference to a saita? Or are they adding a meaning that it's a reference to saita because of the way the word tuma occurs by saita? So, what I'm asking is, I'm well aware of the fact that the rabbanan understand the word of tuma in the Parsha Mazir Grushato to be a reference to a sota, but nonetheless, I mean, is there not a rule, Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto? I mean, the meaning, the simple meaning of the pasuk is that it's referring to a husband who's taking his wife back after she had married somebody else. Oh, Dilma, given the Iaker? Or do we say that since they are forced to remove it from its simple meaning, because remember, this works out very well, I'll leave it the Ratzav, in Rabbi Yossi. This is not a normal case of Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, because over here, if you're going to take the pshat as meaningful, then, as Rabbi Yossi says, it's mad to read it as a seita. Because how can you say, you can't take a seita back? What do you mean, take her back? The words don't even make sense. The remez of the words has to make sense, unless the word hutama is being removed from the context completely. That's the point. So maybe that's what the Chachamim mean. That's why we're bringing this in here. Maybe the Chachamim mean, actually, that there is no such hutama in the case of Machzir Grushato, and therefore, naturally, we would have to do Chalitza at that point. We wouldn't do Yibum, because we'd say, I mean, even he's not allowed to sleep with her. The brother who's coming, Mikocho, for sure is not allowed to sleep with her. Fine. But Chalitza, I'm wondering. Or others have this question in the other direction. Ikidiyami. Others say that actually, when the question was raised by Rav Yehuda, he told Rav Sheshes that Alibet Rabbanan lo tibayla. I wouldn't even raise the question according to Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, it's obvious that they hold that the word hutama does not refer to a mazik grushato at all, only refers to a sota. What I want to know is, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, who says that a machzir grushato is considered to be a toeva, and you would think, well, if that's the case, if she's a toeva, so then the tzara would be included in that because she's compared to an erva, right? So she's considered to be hutama. Ah, but the pasuk says toeva he, which seems to imply mi'et rachmana. The word, there's a word he missing here in quotations. Mi'et rachmana, quotation marks, he, end quotations. Which comes to tell us, he to'eva ve'in sarata to'eva, in which case there would be a chiyuv of yibum and chalitza on the tzara. Oh, Dilma, maybe the way we should understand it is, he to'eva ve'in baneha to'evim. Maybe it's only telling me that her children are not mamzerim, but it's certainly not excluding the tzora from the din of tuma that was said on her. Because this is a typical case of a tuma, that is to say an erva b'makom mitzvah that atzers tzora. Because whenever we have an erva b'makom mitzvah, it atzers the tzora. Omar leitani tuha, Reb Sheshes answered Reb Yehuda, I can bring you a clear raya from the Mishnah. Hayta achat kshira v'achat psula. Now, it's not very clear what that means. And we're going to think about what it means in a moment. He has now two women, either of whom he could choose, this Yotam. So two wives fall to him. one of them being kosher, one of them being posel, which we'll discuss in a minute what that's supposed to mean. So if he's doing chalitza, he does chalitza to the one who's posel. If he's being meyabim, he's meyabim the one who's kosher. Now, what do you think this means? My chero, my psula. I mean, look, you could learn the way chero and psula usually, the way it means it usually, is that it's a talking about an isser lav. And kshayru psula usually means kshayru psula lakuna. You have an issue with kshayru lakuna. You have an issue with psula lakuna. So gerusha would be psula in terms of the kuna. So now, even if that's what it means here, that kshayru means kshayru liyama, meaning a woman is kshayru to everybody, kohani. And psula is psula liyama, a woman is psula to others, meaning the kohani. But he's not a kohani. So kivan dili today, how could that be the meaning over here? He's not a kohen. My not kohen. Meaning, what does he care whether she's a ksher or a psula to a kohen? It's irrelevant to the case. Therefore, the only way to understand psula kshera has to mean kshera in context of this marriage. Kshera lay. That's what it means. And psula is psula lay. That there was a psul or a kashrus in terms of the original marriage. What's that case? So if she's psula to her husband. If she's chera to her husband. Okay? And it's saying over here that the marza grushato, ima ya miyabim, miyabim lechera. I mean, so that means that there's obviously the tzara is mutaret. I mean, so there's your answer. No, this doesn't prove anything. Doesn't prove anything because I disagree with the definition of what chera psula. I say, let's say it means what it usually means. A woman is chera lakuna. A woman is psula lakuna. It's just like, who cares if he's not a kohen? Actually, look chera, chera liyama, psula, psula liyama. Vidikama, given the day, chazia, my nafkele mina, you're going to say, who cares? I'll tell you who cares. Rav Yosef's halacha cares. The question is, when the wedding is over, can you throw out the food? Or must you call the Salvation Army? That's the issue. And Rabbi Yosef said, from this Mishnah we learn the Yisod, that you're not allowed to throw out the food, you have to call the Salvation Army. Kan shana Rabbi, lo yishpoch adam meboro. This is what Rabbi's teaching here. Don't throw out the dishwater, if acherim tzrichim lehem, if there's other people who can use the dishwater. So that's exactly what's going on over here. You're telling me like this. She's psula lekuhuna. So therefore, if you're going to do the chalitza, what kind of idiot are you to do the chalitza known as shera lekuhuna, which will make her partial to the kuhuna? So you're saying, well, what do I care? I'm not a kohen. What do you care? But she's maybe she'll want to marry a kohen one day. So just for spite, you have to make her psula for the kohuna? What do you care? You're going to do the chalitza on the one who's anyway psula the kohuna. That's what it's saying. Which is an incredible chiddush. From which we learn that we will actually give a guy malchus and besdin if he does something that's destructive to another person's potential. Amazing. I can learn how. Some of them say we'll give him malchus for it. It's not just an eitzah teva. We'll be menada him, and if he does it anyway, we'll give him malchus. So in other words, this is not a normal baltashkis. I'm not wasting anything. I mean, I'm doing what I got to do. I'm doing the chalim. But you're causing waste. That has immense application, environmental application. It has application bechlal to these dinim about usability of things and their relationship to Baal Tash. It's incredibly important to halacha. And Rebbe hides it here in the context of this Mishnah, pretending it's one of the dinim of Yibam and Chalitza, which is what confused us, when actually it's nothing to do with the Etzem dinim of Yibam. It's just pointing out, look, if you're going to be Miyabim, then you be Miyabim the woman that you want. I understand. Doesn't mean Miyabim the Kshera, only the Kshera. It means you can be Miyabim the Kshera. You don't have to be Miyabim the Kshera because you're not a Kohen. It makes no difference. But if you're being Chaylitz, you better not be Chaylitz the Kshera.
Is it possible to say something in here
that's louder?
Is it possible to say something in here that's a Gilui? The whole aspect of Yibam is extension of a person's potential in usage.
Okay, I mean, listen, you say the same thing about Esther and the Megillah. I mean, the Megillah is a remnant that every Esther is dealing. I mean, that's fine. It's true. Okay. So therefore, Kan Shana Rebbe, that's the point, don't throw out the dishwater if other people could use it. Toshma. Okay, fine. So I've been totally off. This has nothing to do with Yibam Bakalis. I mean, see if I can bring you a riot. Hamar Zir Grusha Tomishini Seit. No, that's what it means. In other words, there you can take her, but here you can't take her. It's just contrasting. That's what sent us off. That's why we made the mistake of thinking it was a real halacha. But that's why he did it. Right? Words, I'm presenting this as if it's a real halacha and you have a chalitza, but the surprise effect of this, when it turns out to be Rav Yosef, is tremendously more impactful because I write it this way, you see. I'm not just coming to tell you nothing. I'm coming to tell you something dramatic. That's the point. I say it this way. That was a Yosoda of the time, Shmuel. We search for drama in how we say things. That's easy. It brings the case of by the Amos of the Soda. Yaakov being alone makes. What is that supposed to be? Okay. Tashma. Let's see if we can bring a raya from here. Hamakzir Grusha Tomishnis 8. Someone who marries now is Grusha after she had slept with someone else. He v'tzorata choletzet. She and the tzora get chalitza. So obviously, I mean, this shows us that there's no problem of a mazir grushato. You still need chalitza. What do you mean, he v'tzorata sarkatata? I mean, obviously, it can't literally mean he v'tzorata. We never give two women chalitza. So the correct way of understanding it is that ela ema ohi o tzorata. In other words, what you're saying is that there is a din of chalitza according to the Rabbanan here, and there is no ptur. No.
But if after she's been muhzar, what do we have to take him out of that new marriage?
I mean, sorry, you can't relate to the words. So the question over here is, yibum, no yibum. Chalitza, yes. You just said that the b'raisa makes no sense. Lav tiritzika mataratzalam. I mean, did you not change the meaning of the words of the b'raisa? You said, ohi otzarata. Once you've got to change a b'raisa, then you know you can't rely on it. I mean, so then maybe the correct reading would be tiritzaki. Then read it like this. He choletzet, tzarata, o choletzet, o mitabenet. So in other words, maybe enokinami, according to the Rabbonan, there would be an actual chiev of yibum or chalitza. And as I raised earlier, maybe that's the point. Or Tosus says actually it's referring to the second issue over here, that there's no dehi to eva, and is not referring to the tzar. Omra Kriya Barava, Rabbi Yochanan boy. Outside of all of these discussions, Rabbi Yochanan obviously didn't buy into the tumah business and the comparison. He asked, what's the din of Magzir Grushato Mishenisait? I want to know. Sarata Mao, what's the din Legabi the Tzora of the Magzir Grushato? Isn't this the question that we've been talking about? I mean, why isn't he raising the question of what the halacha is of the woman herself? Vitibailacha Higufa. I mean, if he doesn't buy into the Tuma thing, I mean, what's the din of her? No. Igu fellow can be boyed. I don't have any problem, says Rabbi Yochanan, with her. I understand that Kal v'chomer b'mutar la'asor. Look, she's not even allowed to be married to her own husband, who was mutter. She was nesra. So ba'asur la'lo koshka. We're going to say that out of a marriage to which she's asur to the husband, now that marriage will be mater to the one that she was always asur to as an eshesach. That's for sure not. Kika Mibaile. My question is like this. Saratam, my. Do we say that just because I have a Kal v'chomer, that this Kal v'chomer now basically creates a situation in which you have a woman who is married to your brother, and she's legally married, but she remains asura as an eishes hara, and therefore will pater her tzara. Does this kalvachomer have such power to actually address the state of the tzara, or is it just a way in which we have to act? So mi olim kalvachomer lemitchei tzara, is this kalvachomer powerful enough to create an iser on the tzara as well? Or do we say, now, wait. The kalvachomer is only saying you can't take her. But it's not creating a situation of the Isur Eishes Hara necessarily to make the tzara the equivalent of an Eishes Hara. Shoyabo Lamon. I mean, that doesn't necessarily follow. It's telling you how to act. So, I mean, maybe it's not enough, therefore, to part of the tzara. But maybe it's lo olim, the kalmer this way, to that extent. So, ki kalibayle tzara tamay, mi olim kalvachomer lemitchei tzara, o lo. Reb Nachman by Yitzchak had this whole thing in a slightly different version. He's responsible. Om Reb Chiya bar Abba boy Reb Yochanan, ha machzir grushato mishenisek maho, to which Rabami said, "V'tibaylachot sorata." So, in this version, the question was about the Magzir Grushata herself, and he said to him, "Why? I mean, is the tzora so obvious to you that the tzora is muteret? If you've got a tzad to say that the Magzir Grusha, that your Grusha is asura, so maybe the tzora even would be asura. You seem to be taking for granted that the tzora is certainly muteret." No, said Rabbi Yochanan, I do, in fact, take that for granted. The tzara, I'm convinced that tzarata lo kamibayla, she definitely requires a heter. Because lo olim kalvachomer lemitchei tzara, this kalvachomer of the fact that she's asura on her husband, she's certainly going to be asura on the other guy, that is not powerful enough to create a state of erva on the tzara. The kikami boyli. My only question is, higufa mai mi olim kalvachomer b'makom mitzvah. Do I have a right to say that since she is asura, then is there also because of that a cancellation of the mitzvah of yibum? I mean, because remember, it's the only thing that canceled yibum up until now that we were talking about was erva. Now you're saying, oh, but there's also a svara. If the Torah didn't want the husband married to her, why would the Torah want to be making zera la'achiv from the woman that he wasn't supposed to be married to? I mean, yeah, it's a good svara, but is it enough to cancel the mitzvah entirely? Oh, no. Or not? No, that's the first question. Omar Le, now in this, we go right through the same piece that we just had again. Omar Le to Nitua. Isn't that, Rabbi Yochanan again was asking this question completely outside of the context of our Gemara. Right, but is it enough to cancel? Is it enough to cancel out the mitzvah completely? That is the question. So Omar Le to Nitua. Haita. Haita achat shirav achat psulaim ayacholetz cholitz lupsulav ayam yavim yavim l'ksheira. And again we ask, my kshira, my psula. Does it mean kshira, kshira li'alma to the kohen, to the kohuna? And psula, psula li'alma to the kohuna? So who cares if he's not a kohen? Kibbutz l'dedei chazi my naftoi mina. Must therefore mean kshira means kshira lei, psula means psula lei. Referring to what case? Magzir grushato. Ukatani mayim yavim yavim l'ksheira. So you see over here that there is a din of Yibum on the Tzara and so on and so on. No. This may mean Kshera Li'alma, Psula Li'alma. V'dekamer, given to the day chazi, my nafka le'mina, you're going to ask me what the nafka mean is. Mishum Rebbe Yosef. The Yomer Rebbe Yosef. Kanshan, Rebbe lo yishpoch adam me'biro, boro, v'acherim tzrichim lahem. So it's the same, again, since we're reviewing this outside of the context of the previous sugya, we try to bring the same raya. We answer now the same teretz. We bring now the same second raya, toshma. Amachzir grushatomi shenisayt, hi v'tzarata choletz, and obviously, hi v'tzarata, it's not what it means. Sal kadaita, ela ima ohi o tzarata. Well, v'la v'tzikom in teretz tala, you just explained it, I thought, in a different way than what it says. You might as well explain it as follows. Tritzachi. He choletzet, tzarata, or choletzet, or mityaven. Same issue. Now we can get on in life. So we have finished the sugya now of the tzarat of the magzegushato, the tzara of the sota. Now we get on to yet another case. Omer of Lili bar Mamal, Omer Marukva, Omer Shmuel, tzarat mima enet asura. It's a fascinating case. Here we find there are two yevamot that fall again. One of them is a ktana. And she is mima enet in him. She says, I don't like this guy.
The new guy.
Yeah, I don't like this brother. Never did. Couldn't stand him.
She's still
a ktana. So in that case, the miyun works. Now, the real mechanism of the way the miyun works is that if the miyun has an impact on annulling the original marriage, so basically anything that comes out of that, once she's doing it, she's annulling all basis of the marriage in the first place.
Mafreya.
But, right, but what happens, every miyun is a mafreya, by definition. It's an annulment, right? So now, the tzara of this girl, who had been married at the same time, surprisingly, it says over here, that since she was mima enet, now the tzara also becomes osur. Says the Gemara, osur to whom? Lama. Ilema la'achim. Does it mean, what, to all the brothers she's asura because she says, I don't like that guy? I mean, what's it, no gay of them? Hashta hi gufa sharia. The halacha is that if a mima enet doesn't like one of the brothers, but there's another brother that's available for yibum, then the mima enet isn't canceling the original marriage. She's still muteres to the other brothers. The ketana, by definition, if it's miyun, it's a ketana. The yomar shmu miyana bezeh muteret bezeh. Actually, a girl who's mima enet on a brother is still allowed to marry the other brothers, and it's like she was never related to any of them, and so on, right?
No, she's
still Mutara. She was never married to their brother, basically. So if that's the case, how could it possibly Aser the Tzara if even she's allowed to go and marry the other brothers? That doesn't make any sense at all. So in other words, it's got to mean that we're talking about Ladidei. In other words, there was one of the brothers that she went ahead and was Mima Enes. So now the Miyun removes, as far as he's concerned, the Zika. And now she is left as an Eshes Ach. Which is really weird. Right? I mean, because the only way that it could work is by canceling the original Nisuin. If it cancels the original Nisuin, so how could she possibly be an Eshes Ach?
Okay.
That's Asura. She's not an Ashesak, that's Asura.
She should be subject to Yibu.
Well, but she's not subject to Yibu because she has the power of Miyun.
Only to that one, but the Tzara. That marriage never took place.
Let's wait until we see the logic in this, okay? Because we're missing a very important point that we still haven't had. So there, until we get to the end of figuring out what the case is, we won't understand what's happening. So therefore, it's got to be talking about that she was Mama Enes in him.
Brother B.
No, the brother that's alive now, but one of the brothers, she went ahead and she was Mama Enes to the one that she was Mama Enes. So she is awesome.
Okay? That one.
Yeah. So she remains now an Eishes Ach, as far as he's concerned.
But down to the other brothers.
That's right. Ask the Gemara, Umay Shna Mima Enes, does that make sense? A Mima Enes, why is she Muteres to all of the other brothers? Why is she Muteres to the Achim? The Shaya La'achim, why is she Muteres to the Achim? The law of Dubahu Ma'aseh? Because nothing had been done vis-a-vis those brothers to show that there was any reason to treat her as anything but a kosher wife, right? So when it comes to the tzara, to this brother, to whom she was Mima Enes, I mean, what is the Tzara? I mean, nobody ever did anything to the Tzara. Was there a relationship to the Tzara that this brother had to the Tzara? In the same way, the act of the Mema'enet only affects him and not the other brothers. It should only affect her relationship with him and not the Tzara's relationship with him. So what is the meaning, Bichlal, of saying that the Tzara of the Mema'enet should be Aser? Ah, because it's a gzeira mishum tzarat bito mima'enet. We're worried about a case where a daughter falls to him from his own brother, which was the case that we had in the Mishnah, and in a case where she was mima'enet, then she would be now actually, ru'uya only to chalitza, for chalitza, because it says mima'enes there. What? Tzara's bito mima'enes mi'asir? I understand. The Mishnah said that if she was mima'enes, that it's okay, and that he could now take the tzara. Now, how he told me, we're making gzera because it's not okay. It is okay. Mi'asir v'atznan. It says in the Mishnah, v'kulam yimeitu omianu, tzarotehem mutarot. I don't get it. You're driving me nuts. First you say Mion is a complete heter, we don't have to worry about it. Now you're telling me that Mion is such a problem that we have to make a gezeira to Aser, even the Tzara of the Ma'enes. Because maybe you'll think about Tzara's Bito, but even a Tzara's Bito would be okay in a Ma'enes. Now what's the case over there? To be another man. I mean, the case in the Mishnah, of course we know what the case in the Mishnah is, but at this point we thought that miana means in the oven. In reality, of course, the Mishnah means that she was mima'enes and her husband before the husband died, and therefore it's irrelevant to this case. Okay? But the Gemara at this point holds, who was she mima'enet in the Mishnah? The miana b'man. Ilame the miana b'ba, what, she was mima'enes and the husband? That's what a grusha is. I mean, what do I care? It says that even if he was megarisher, that now when he dies after the Gerishin, there's no problem of a Tzara. So what's the Havamina? What a Miana? That's an annulment. I mean, if I know Gerishin, I certainly know Mion. And for sure they were never married. I mean, in Gerishin, they were really married. So isn't that included in the case Gerusha? Elalav b'yavam. What it's got to be talking about in the Mishnah is that Kulam that were Nizgarshu from the husband, or that were Mianu in the Yavam, that then they're taken out of the equation, and Sarotehem Mutarot. I thought that's what the Mishnah meant. Now you're telling me that I'm so completely off the wall, not only the daughter who is Mima'enet on the Tzarot, not Asurot, but any woman at all who will do Mion on that person, he is not allowed to marry the Tzara, because he might come to marry the Tzara of his daughter who is Mima'enet, which I thought her daughter was Mut. What is the meaning of that Mishnah? Says he, well, no. The meaning of the Mishnah is talking about that she was mima'enes and not husband. Just like the other cases, when it says that in the cases where she was nizgarsha, obviously that's from the husband. Miana is from the husband. So anything, in other words, that takes off the kedusha to her husband before his death, removes her from the equation of Yibum. That's all it's saying. So you're saying, if I know Gerusha, so for sure I know Miun. Why do you have to mention Miun? It means that actually, it's talking about the Baal. The Trey got me Gerushin. The Mishnah simply wants to talk out the two ways that you could end a marriage before his death. So it talks about Yibum or Miun. Gerushin or Yibum, that's all. And Mion. I'm sorry, I said and Mion. Okay, so now let me understand this. You're saying there's a new mechanism of Mion in a Yava? I mean, how does that Mion work? Doesn't it work with the Baal? I mean, Maishnaki Miana Bibal, the Akrina Linisuin. It boils down to the same issue as far as I'm concerned. When you do Mion, what you're really doing is you're annulling the initial marriage. I mean, otherwise, you can't annul Yibum. So what the Mishnah says is, if his daughter was married to his brother, and his daughter now used the Mion to cancel the marriage and annul it before his brother died, so then there's no problem of him marrying the Tzara. But if his daughter uses Mion after her husband dies to be Mima'enes in him, and in this case, one of the other brothers, this case would be her father in the case of the Mishnah. But how would that work? I mean, the only way it would work is that the Miyun removes the Chiyuv of Yivam by annulling the initial marriage, right? So, Kin Miyana Biyavam Nami Nisuin Kamoi Ka'akri. I mean, so, by definition, what she's done is she's removed the original marriage. So, how do we get this Isser now? A Gezera, because of Bito, that's Mima Enes, the marriage was annulled. Ah, and here is the missing piece of information. It's Mishum, the whole thing sounded crazy to us because we were not aware of the Braita that Rami Bar Yecheskel taught, and that's why we're getting very confused. The Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, that's what's missing here. It's all because of him. The Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Rami Bar Yecheskel pointed out that Miana Beba'al Muteret la'aviv, but biyavam asura la'aviv. So now we have a case over here of a ketana who is a technical yesaima, meaning that she may have a physical father, but that father is not her legal father because he already lost his rights to her kedushin. So he had already accepted kedushin for someone. Now her marriage was a derabbanan marriage, which did not come with the power of the D'oraisa of her father. So this ketana now goes ahead, and she, in a normal case, she goes ahead, and she's b'ma'enes in her husband. Can she marry her husband's, so-called husband's, father? She can. Yeah, she was never married, right? So she was never kalato. Because, remember, kalato, a man is not usher in a woman that his son slept with. A man is usher in a woman that his son was married to. She's not married to his son, and therefore there's no problem. However, and here's the crazy thing that he says, is yes, that's true only on a baal. But incredibly, if she is mima'enet in the yavam of that baal, which you think, okay, well, that means that the original, she took off the original marriage, and therefore the whole thing is absurd. I mean, we're even one step further. In that case, incredibly enough, says Rami Bar Yecheskel, she is asura to the father of the yavam. Yeah, but fine, but it's because of the relationship to the yavam. And that's exactly the madness that seems to be going around over here. You're telling me that the tzaris, that the bat herself was b'ma'enet in her husband while the husband was alive, and then now the tzara falls before the yibam. There's no problem, and he can go right ahead, and he can even take the tzara. But if she was b'ma'enet in the yavam, which of course only is meaningful because she was married to the original nisuin, then even if she wasn't his daughter, it's awesome. Because maybe in a case where it is a daughter, then maybe we would make the mistake of thinking that the miyun afterwards would be mata the tzara, and it really isn't. Why is it not really? In the same way that Rami Bar Yecheskel said it isn't really. Even though she was b'ma'enes in her husband while the husband was alive, so then she can marry her father-in-law. But if she was b'ma'enes in the husband's brother, if the husband died, she can't marry her father-in-law. You're telling me that's logical? It's just as illogical as this case. So let's figure out what, therefore, is the meaning. The meaning must be, and this is the missing ingredient to the whole thing, Alma Misha'at Nefila Nir'eit Kekalato. The whole point over here is the moment that the Beit Din had to deal with this child in terms of what to do for the Yibam before she made her intentions clear that she does not like the guy, the very fact that she needed to be dealt with means, as far as the public is concerned, she's near eight kikalato. Everybody is saying, oh yeah, the guy's daughter-in-law ended up falling to him for Yibam, and the, you know, or, in this case, she died, her husband died, and now there she was in the family, and we needed to know what to do with her, and so at that moment, she looked like his daughter-in-law, as far as the public was concerned. Since she's near eight kikalato, we gave her a din of kalato.
But one of the things
Yeah, of course. All marriage was drabbanon. Obviously, the whole thing is drabbanon. But there's a chash on a drabbanon. It's actually, they ask even now, well, why isn't it a gzera? The whole thing is crazy. It's such an exaggerated response. But fine, it's all one idea. Either we treat her as a seriously married woman, or we don't. So if, because we inserted the halacha of annulment into the marriage itself, so everybody understands that when a marriage is annulled, it's annulled. But the idea of our having, we needed to deal with her in terms of other elements, like yibum. Once that happens, it's no longer so evident to people. Well, now retroactively, we'll annul the marriage. No. Wait a minute. I mean, what was she doing in the court? She felt the yibum. Now they're trying to figure out what to do. Ah! So apparently, people will conclude, apparently when you fall to yibum, even though at the time you are a daughter, a daughter-in-law, there's no ptur of the tzara. Right? If you can go ahead and marry the tzara, so therefore we ask it over here, every mima in it, so that people will have a general rule in their mind. A girl who's mima in it to a yavam, despite the fact that she has canceled the marriage, and now really he isn't even a yavam, answers her tzara, which is totally crazy. She answers her tzara by becoming more mutter? Because if she would have been a bat, she would have answered the tzara because of the fact that she looked like a bat at the time of the nafila. So therefore, the only way to be mekayim that halacha is to say, and this is the only way that people can relate to it, is that miyun creates problems for the tzara. Once they know miyun creates problems for the tzara, so a daughter who falls and is mima'enet after falling, so now they'll say for sure, oh, wait, that's it. You can't marry the tzara. Because, I mean, last year there was a girl who was mima'enet, she wasn't even related to the yavam, and she also created problems for the tzara. So we made an across-the-board incredible gezeira to answer the tzara of a mima'enet in any and all circumstances, which is unbelievable. So therefore, because of this, we come up with this wild halakha that struck us as being completely off the wall, that despite the fact that lamaisa miyun does actually impact the original marriage, the way we have to look at it is that at the moment that she felt him as a yavama with all, or as a kalato, or as bito, whatever the halakha is, we can't annul that in people's minds.
That's what
Tzara's not. And therefore, Tzara of any Mimainas is a
Surah. If she's not Mimainas, she's mutter to the other brothers, though?
She's mutter to the other brothers. Yeah. She's not related to them.
What? I
think it's worth reviewing before you ask. This is a complex, tough subject.
I'm just trying to make sure I understood what you paid.
After review, you'll understand better, aren't you? So, Hachinami Mishat Defilah Nireki Tzara Bito. Okay, so we've got now another case in which, and again, the question is, does the Mishnah accept that or not? Our original reading of the Mishnah is that that's why it says 15. Please, don't throw this at me. There's 15 women, not the Tzara of the Mimaenis. That's crazy. Okay, but of course, if you hold Tzara's Mimaenis, you have another reading of the Mishnah, why the Mishnah cancels the 15. Omer of Asi, I got another case for you. Okay, here the case is a Tzara of an Ilonit. And this is the ultimate example of the ptur of an erva because of the iser of Eshet Ach and only Eshet Ach. We had a case of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo where the iser of Eshet Ach potters the tzora to a brother who's born afterwards, right? But I got another case for you. If one of the women that he's married to is an islander, and he knows she's an Ilonit. He wanted to marry her anyway. He didn't care about the fact that she was sterile. The problem is that the Torah says the fee of Yibum is only on a woman who is fertile. So therefore, because it says v'ayabachashir teleid, and we're talking about doing an act that can lead to a child. But so then that means that this woman is asura because she's an eshetach. Because she's never chayavas in Yibum. But if she's an Eishes Ach, she's got a tzara. And now this is a tzara of an erva. And it's b'makom mitzvah, because the tzara is b'makom mitzvah. So therefore, she is now Asura herself because of Eshetah. Amazing. Right?
But she was mutter in the original Eshetah.
No, this there's only one Eshetah.
But the Tzara was originally mutter.
Tzara is always originally mutter. But since there's another wife who remains Asura for an Erva, in this case, the Eshetah is the Erva. The same way that the Eshetah is the Erva by Eshetah in Shroi Abba Olamo. Or the same way an Eshetach is an Erva where it's Eshetach Ivmi Imo. There exists an Eshetach that patters a Tzara. We've seen this again and again, actually. It's become, right? I mean, it's become almost a theme here throughout the first parak. All of these fascinating cases end up being problems to the Tzara because of Yisr Eshetach. And only the Yisr of Eshetach. That was the whole discussion we were having yesterday. Okay, so let's see this inside now. Therefore, says Rabasi, the tzora of an island is asura. Shinemar v'ayav akor asher teleid. Asher teleid means we insist on there being fertility in this marriage. And prad la'ayonit she'ina yoledet. Mostly Rabsheshes says, how can you say that the tzora of an island is potter? It says, shlosha achim, is a mishnah. You have three brothers who are married to three unrelated women. So there are nisuim shalosh nashim nochriot. Comes along one of them, mate echad mehem. Now we're about to introduce a concept that we have not yet seen. The concept is called ma'amar. Ma'amar is a kiddushin that the rabbanon stipulated should apply in cases of yibum. So that instead of a straight out sleeping with a woman based on the zika that the Torah provides, the Rabbanan created a kiddushin type of relationship with this woman, which acts like a normal kiddushin, but which also, if one brother does it to the Yavama, he now has basically sealed them off from taking her, even though it's only a Rabbanan. So in this case, one of the brother goes ahead, and he does ma'amar, and that's kiddushin, and now he dies. Oh boy. So now we got a problem. Because now Hare Elu, the other two women, can only do Chalitza. So if he had actually done Yibum on this other woman, then there wouldn't have been a problem. Because then he would have taken off the Isser of the Eshetach from the first brother. But now he created a complex situation. He didn't take off the Yisr Eshetach from the other brother because he never consummated the Yibum, correct? And now, so the Mamar doesn't take off the Zika. You're left with the Zika of the first brother that hasn't been removed. So you'll say, okay, so what's wrong? So let's remove it now. And we still have, but 1 minute. The Mamar creates a Kedushin Derabbanan, which creates now a Chiyav of Yibum Derabbanan. So now there's a Zika from the second brother as well who died. That means that this woman is now falling from two brothers for Yibo. And the Torah said, Umet Echad Mehem. But if the same woman falls to you from two brothers, then there's no Yibo. Absolutely wild, right? So it says, Umet Echad Mehem. Yevama yavo alea. Misha alea zikat yavam echad. A brother who's being miyavim could be miyavim for one brother, but he can't be miyavim taking the place of two deceased brothers.
The rice is referring to a drama.
Forget about it. Yeah. Vikatoni Allah, and on this said Rav Yosef, this is absolutely crazy. Because what we have over here is an eshet ach mi'av that has a tzara. The Eshet Ach Mi'av is the case of Yibum. And over here it's the Yibum that creates the Tzara. Well, it's nuts. I understand all the other Arayas, okay, but Eshet Ach Mi'av that has fallen to Yibum creates an Yisr Tzara. So now the other women, also you can't take them. Because they're Tzaras now. Right? So now all of them now are in a situation now of being zakukas, and in this case, obviously, it's only an asmachta because the whole thing is only rabbanon. The case couldn't possibly happen in a diaraisa, And so the Isser, Nefila itself, was Goram La. Since she fell twice to the same brothers, because of that, she's now Asura, because of a problem of Shtei Batim. In other words, the Isser Yibum itself creates the Isser to do Yibum. And something like that, says Rav Yosef, Shalom Atzino B'chola Torah Kula Kagon Zot. I mean, this is nuts. Never saw anything like it. Oh, now, what does that mean when Rav Yosef said, this is a case that we've never seen anything like it. Zoe, alright? And what's he saying, Zoe? Don't make the mistake of thinking that we have another such case, namely, Tzoras Ireland is, which is exactly the same idea, isn't it? The Tzoras Ironis is a case of an Iser Eishes Ach that basically potters the Tzara. Because since she can't be included in Yibam, and here Rav Yosef is going out of his mind, this is wild! Whoever heard of such a thing? With the very fact that she's married to the brother that is Mechayev in Yibam, that's the reason that we have to potter the Tzara. It's unbelievable. How does such a thing happen? You see that he's saying, certainly Tzoras Ironis is not, so what is it coming to be Mo'ute? So my love, the Mo'ute Tzoras Ironis. And a Tzoras Ironis, in fact, is Muteret. Oh no, says the Gemara. It is coming to be Mo'ute Tzoras Ironis. But it's to tell you that a Tzoras Ironis is Asira. That's what it's saying. So what do you mean? How could it be? He's saying this is the case, this is the only case. Umay Zohi. Zohi de Iser Nefila Goramla, and Sarata requires Chalitza. That's what he's saying. In this case, we have an Iser Nefila, but it's really all a fiction, because it's all a Darabana. There is no such thing as Misha Yeshla Alea Zikav Achechad, and not. There can't be such a situation. Because by definition, if she's married to the second brother, there's no longer the Zika of the first brother. So therefore, this pasuk cannot possibly potter the tzora from Yibam. Of course the tzora is going to need chalitza. What Rav Yosef is saying is, what's crazy about this is that we're treating it as if she's an eshes ach, and yet we're going to go ahead and need to do chalitza to the tzora. That's what's crazy. But when it comes to the tzora's ironies, that's consistent. If we're viewing it as an eshes ach, so then the Tzara is pure from Yibam too. That's what he's trying to say. Exact opposite. If anything, Rav Yosef was pointing out that in this case, where the Chalitza, Zazuhi, the Eastern Nefila Garamla, where it's only because she's being Nofela twice from two brothers, this is a unique case in which Tzarata boy Chalitza. But a real case where there would be a Ptur on the woman because she's an Ionist, that would create a real Eishes Ach, and a real Eishes Ach would potter even the Tzar from Chalitza. So there I feel Chalitza, low boy, my time, huh? One case she was really married to the brother and there's a real Eishes Ach. In this case, she was only a mimer to the brother and she's not really an Eishes Ach. And therefore, Be'etzem, the Tzar, of course, is Chayevet, the same way she is. So we can't possibly potter the Tzar from Yibam. That's the point. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, if they died, or they were Mema'enet, or they were Nidgarish, and then you said another case, or they were found to be an Islandist, then everything's good. So you just said if they're found to be an Islandist, then everything's bad. Even if she isn't an Ereva, she suddenly becomes an Ereva, and you're saying if she was an Ereva and is an Islandist, then everything's fine. How do you understand the Mishnah? No, that's no problem, Lokasha. I mean, obviously, I'm talking about where a guy married an Islandist, he wanted to marry an Islandist, he knew she was an Islandist, he accepted her, she's a full wife. The case in the Mishnah was where the marriage was annulled because it's a mekachtos that she was an Islandist. So we're saying, if they died, that has a tendency to cancel a marriage. If they got divorced, has a tendency to cancel a marriage. Mion annuls a marriage, and there's another case where the marriage never even happened. And that's the case where it turned out that he thought he was marrying a woman and ended up marrying an Islandist. That's an ekartos. So the marriage didn't happen. So the Mishnah is basically telling you in order of things that affect the marriage. Nisa doesn't affect the marriage, it's just that she's not there anymore. Gerushin affects the marriage. Mian actually annuls the marriage. And Iowa means the marriage never happened. There was no lekuchin.
Did she have to be in Salinas when the mother, first husband, was still alive, mm-hmm. or even after it?
Yeah, I mean, that does discuss this earlier. That's the question of where we would assume the Mekachos and so on. Dekadami Shinim Tzu. Note the words in the Mishnah. That she was discovered to be an island. It doesn't say Shahayu, that were islandites. That's the whole point. But if she were an islandite, then even if she was not an Erva, she would have created an Isser. Because there is a built-in Isser, an island, so they just are. In a case of no chiev of yima, shmamina. In fact, you're right, that is a good deal. Omar Rava, hilchatat sarat islandit muteret. We do not accept this psak. If he's married to her and he knows that she was an islandess and so on, she is considered to be muteret. The only time that the Torah asks a tzara, and this is a very important point, is b'makom mitzvah, meaning that the erva was together with her in the mitzvah. But over here, the erva was not together with her in the mitzvah. This is not to be understood, therefore, as a case of communicatable erva when you're married to the same person that is going to send you to a brother if he dies as a yavama. That's not the definition of a makom mitzvah. It's not a communicatable erva. It's an erva which is an eishes ach that cannot be actualized. But over here, there is no eishes ach that cannot be actualized because there's no chiyuv of yibum. So the fact that you happen to be married to the guy along with a woman who wouldn't have been chayevet in Yibam anyway does not create a din of tzara. So therefore, it was a brilliant case, but it was a misunderstanding of the nature of tzara. This is not tzara. Tzara has to be tzara in the context of the chiyev, the joint chiyev of Yibam. That's what creates tzara, not the fact of marriage, any more than the fact of marriage to a guy outside of Yibam would have created a communicatable erva. And my daughter is married to a guy who has another wife, means the other wife is my daughter. It's not such thing. Here too. My Eshet Ach is married together with another woman. So therefore the other woman becomes a permanent Eshet Ach. Why? One was not Chayav in Yibam, one was. Therefore, says Rav, we don't paskin like this. And the fact is, the afilu tzarat bito island is, the brilliance is, that even if there's no mekachtos, and in fact, and this is the issue earlier in the Mishnah, if his bat is an islandess, and it wasn't a mekachtos, and now we have tzarat bito, but she's not chayevet in yibum. So if she's not chayevet in yibum, so then it's irrelevant the fact that she's married to my brother. The brother has another wife, I would have to marry the other wife. For what? I thought the Mishnah says Sheninzu, it's only because it's a Mekach Ta'ut. The Mishnah, your gears is wrong. Tani Shahayu. The correct gears of the Mishnah is if they were an island, not if they were found to be an island. Because the problem isn't Mekach Ta'ut, the problem is there is no Chiyuv of Yibam on an island, and therefore in the case of the Bat, she never fell to her father, and therefore never potter the Tzara. Ki yasa Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan. When Ravin came, he reported that Rav Yochanan's psak was that none of the all achas tzaras b'ma'enes, achas tzaras ilonis, achas tzaras b'agzegrushos, all the cases that we raised here and created problems for the tzara, all of it's not true. Kulan mutarot, there's no iser on a tzaras b'ma'enes, that wild gezera mishum tzaras abas. There is no iser of a tzara's islandess because it's shaloba makom mitzvah and therefore does not create a tzara. And there's no iser of a magzer grusha on the tzara because the kal v'chomer is not strong enough to ask the tzara. I don't hold of the utama. They're all mutter. I did? No, I said it. Tanisha, you? Okay. This basically concludes that sugya, and we are now going to move tomorrow to the last words of the Mishnah, which is your mother-in-law could not have been Mima'ena. And we're going to question whether that's absolutely true. Can a mother-in-law not be Mima'ena? And we have to figure out whether we could come up with a case where a mother-in-law could be Mima'ena. But that is such a completely different sugya. We'll leave it till tomorrow. And we have Saba Josh. We want to give him some time also to practice. And, you know, to